We all recognize Memorial Day as that end of May Monday. It often signals the start of summer fun, doesn't it?
It really does. Barbecues, the long weekend.
Yeah. But beneath all that, there's a really significant history.
That's absolutely right. It's a day deliberately set aside, a day to pause and remember the individuals who, well, made the ultimate sacrifice while serving in the United States Armed Forces.
It's a very specific focus.
It is, and it's a distinction with really deep roots.
Exactly. And today, we're going to delve into that history. We'll trace how this important tradition began. Then we'll look at how this act of remembrance continues today, specifically thinking about the Memorial Day tributes at East Lawn Cemeteries, right here in Sacramento.
Good local connection.
Yeah. So if you've ever been curious about the deeper layers of meaning behind this holiday, you're definitely in the right place.
Our goal today is really to give you a solid understanding of where Memorial Day came from, how it's changed over time,
Right.
and also highlight how local observances, like those at East Lawn, keep that vital spirit of remembrance alive in our communities.
Okay.
And we've gathered information from, good sources like the National Cemetery Administration and details about the upcoming events at East Lawn itself to bring you this exploration.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. Memorial Day wasn't always called Memorial Day. It started as Decoration Day. What's the story there?
Right, Decoration Day. The name itself started popping up right after the Civil War, which was, what, 1861 to 1865. Across both the North and the South, people began sort of organically decorating the graves of soldiers with flowers. It was a way to honor their memory.
So it wasn't like an official decree at first,
Yeah,
just people doing it.
exactly. It wasn't a totally new idea either. Putting flowers on graves is an ancient tradition in many cultures, but this was specifically tied to the war dead.
So a widespread expression of grief happening kind of spontaneously in different places.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And historians have documented several early examples. For instance, April 1866, the Ladies Memorial Association in Columbus, Georgia, they pushed for a specific day to decorate Confederate graves. And interestingly, around the same time in Columbus, Mississippi, there was a memorial event honoring both Union and Confederate
Well,
soldiers.
that's interesting. Both sides.
Yes. And we also see records from Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania, where women decorated graves maybe even earlier, October 1864.
Wow.
And then there's a really noteworthy one in Charleston, South Carolina, May 1865. Black freedmen and Northern allies organized this large ceremony at a cemetery they called the Martyrs of the Race Course to honor Union soldiers buried there.
That's really powerful. It shows different communities independently finding similar ways to remember. So how did all these local customs become a national holiday?
Okay, that's where the Grand Army of the Republic, the GAR, comes in.
The GAR, Union Veterans, right.
Exactly, a very influential organization after the war. In 1868, their commander-in-chief, General John A. Logan, issued General Orders No. 11.
General Orders Number 11. Sounds official.
It was. This was the formal directive establishing Memorial Day, using that name as a day for remembering the war dead and, crucially, decorating their graves with flowers.
And they picked a specific date too, didn't they? May 30th.
Yes, May 30th. And there was a practical reason for that choice.
Okay.
The thinking was that springtime flowers would likely be blooming across most of the country by then, so everyone could participate.
Ah, that makes sense. Logistics.
Right. Logan's order didn't actually spell out exact ceremonies, though. It left it up to the local GAR posts to organize fitting tributes.
Now, I think I read somewhere that Mrs. John Logan, his wife, might have played a role in the idea.
Yes, indeed. Mary Logan, in her autobiography, she recounted suggesting the idea to her husband. Apparently, she had observed how Confederate cemeteries in Virginia were being decorated.
Ah, so she saw what was happening in the South.
Right. And she noted that General Logan felt it was, well, time for the Union to follow suit in honoring its fallen soldiers in a similar, organized way.
So while the feeling was widespread, General Logan and the GAR really formalized it, made it national.
Exactly. Through that official order and the GAR's massive network, they really pushed it into being a national observance.
Okay, so Logan and the GAR get the national ball rolling. What did that very first National Decoration Day actually look like?
Well, the first big national observance was May 30th, 1868. It happened at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia.
Arlington, okay.
It was a pretty significant event centered around the Arlington Mansion, which was, you know, draped in mourning, flags everywhere.
And that land itself has history, right? Robert E. Lee's estate.
Precisely. It had been designated a national cemetery just a few years earlier, in 1864. So yeah, layers of symbolism there.
Wow. Definitely. What actually happened at the ceremony itself?
Well, the program included speeches, notably by General James A. Garfield, who was a congressman then.
Garfield, okay.
There were prayers, hymns, someone recited the Gettysburg Address, and also Logan's General Orders number 11.
Reading the order itself.
Yeah, reinforcing the purpose. And children played a big part. Kids from the Soldiers and Sailors Orphan Asylum decorated graves all over the cemetery with flowers and little flags.
Oh, that's poignant.
It really was. And lots of prominent figures attended: Union generals, government officials, federal employees even got time off work to go.
So it was a big deal right from the start.
Definitely. And they even distributed flowers from public gardens in D.C. to several other national cemeteries that same day, really trying to establish the practice widely.
So a deliberate, coordinated effort. How did it catch on with the individual states then? Did they have to adopt it?
Gradually, yes. New York was actually the first state to officially recognize the holiday back in 1873.
Okay, New York first.
And then by 1890, all the former Union states had done the same. The GAR was crucial in this, constantly pushing to make sure graves were cared for on Memorial Day.
They kept the pressure on.
They did. By the late 1800s, it was even army policy that if local groups couldn't manage the decorations at a national cemetery, the cemetery superintendent had to do it.
Interesting. And then World War I changed things again, didn't it? Broadened the scope.
Exactly. After the massive losses of World War I, Memorial Day naturally evolved. It became a day to honor Americans who had died in all wars, not just the Civil War.
Makes sense.
And groups like the Women's Relief Corps, the WRC, which was the GIR's auxiliary, they were really active, collecting flowers, even placing these cast iron tablets with the text of Logan's General Order Number 11 to, you know, solidify the meaning.
Keeping the original intent visible.
Right.
And the federal government stepped in again later, too, more official actions.
Yes, several key moments. In 1950, Congress asked the president to issue a proclamation calling for Americans to observe Memorial Day as a day of prayer for permanent peace.
A call for peace.
Mm-hmm. Then, fast forward to 1966, a congressional resolution officially recognized Waterloo, New York, as the birthplace of Memorial Day.
The birthplace. Why Waterloo?
They acknowledge Waterloo's long-standing tradition, apparently a century long by then, of holding observances specifically on May 30th.
Ah, okay. And then came the big shift, the one we know today, moving it to a Monday.
Right. That was the Uniform Monday Holiday Act of 1968. It took effect in 1971.
And that's where we get the three-day weekend.
That's the one. It moved Memorial Day, along with a few other holidays, to the last Monday in May.
Okay. And one more recent development, something about a moment of silence.
Yes. The National Moment of Remembrance Act. That was passed in 2000. It encourages all Americans, wherever they are at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day, to pause for a minute of silence.
3 p.m. A specific time for national reflection.
Exactly. To remember those who died in service.
So, wow. From those very personal local acts of decoration after the Civil War.
Yeah.
All the way to a federal holiday with a designated moment of national silence. It's quite an evolution.
It really is a rich history.
Okay, let's bring this to the present day and right here to our local community. I know East Lawn Cemeteries here in Sacramento hold specific Memorial Day tributes. Can you tell us a bit about those?
Yes, absolutely. So this year, on Monday, May 26, 2025, at 10 a.m., all three East Lawn Cemeteries locations are hosting Memorial Day tribute ceremonies.
All three. So that's East Sacramento.
East Sacramento, the one at Greenback and I-80, and the one in Elk Grove. All at 10 a.m.
And these are open to everyone.
Completely open to the whole community. They're really important opportunities to come together and remember the sacrifices made by our fallen service members. You can see it as a direct continuation of that long history we've just talked about.
Bringing that history right into our neighborhoods. What can people expect if they decide to attend one of these tributes at East Lawn?
Well, at each location, you can expect to hear from keynote speakers. There will be special presentations, too, all designed, really, to provide moments for reflection and remembrance.
So a formal, respectful event.
Yes, very much so. A way to collectively honor those who served and died for our country. And again, open to everyone, whichever location is most convenient.
Are there any specific differences between the locations, things people might want to know?
There are a few specifics. The Greenback and I-80 location will have VIP keynote speakers. a presentation of colors, the flag ceremony, and they'll have refreshments available.
Okay.
Both the East Sacramento and the Elk Grove locations will also feature VIP keynote speakers and refreshments. And importantly, both of those locations, East Sac and Elk Grove, will also have a POW MIA table.
Ah, the prisoner of war missing in action table.
Exactly. It's a very powerful, very symbolic display, a visual reminder of those service members who were held captive or whose fates remain unknown.
That definitely adds another layer of meaning. Sounds like a very moving tribute overall. If anyone listening wants more details, addresses, specifics.
Easy. They can find all the information they need about the Memorial Day tributes on the East Lawn website. Just visit eastlawn.com.
Eastlawn.com. Got it. Okay, before we wrap up, it feels really important to touch on something we mentioned earlier because it does cause confusion sometimes.
Ah, yes. The difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day.
Exactly. It's a common mix-up.
It really is. And the distinction is significant. Veterans Day, which is in November, that's a day to celebrate and honor all veterans. Everyone who has served in the U.S. military, living or deceased, service is the key.
Okay. Veterans Day, else all who served.
Right. Memorial Day, the one we're discussing now, is specifically for honoring those who died while in military service. It's about remembering the ultimate sacrifice.
Died in service. That's the crucial difference.
It is.
So the way we acknowledge each day should probably reflect that difference, shouldn't it?
Ideally, yes. On Veterans Day, it's perfectly appropriate to say Happy Veterans Day to someone who served to thank them for their service.
That makes sense.
But on Memorial Day, well, Happy Memorial Day doesn't quite fit the solemn nature of the day, does it?
No, it really doesn't.
A more fitting acknowledgement might be something like Have a Meaningful Memorial Day, or perhaps just taking that moment for personal reflection and remembrance, thinking about those who didn't come home.
Right. Acknowledging the solemnity. So, as we kind of pull all this together, thinking about the history we've explored, you know, from the origins of Decoration Day right after the Civil War all the way to the upcoming tributes at East Lawn right here, it's clear Memorial Day carries a really profound weight.
It truly does. It's fundamentally a time for national mourning and remembrance, a tradition that's evolved over, what, more than 150 years now?
Yeah.
Yet its core purpose hasn't really wavered. To honor the extraordinary sacrifice of those who died serving our country.
And it's really meaningful to see that direct line, that connection from the deep history to what's happening today, like these local observances at places such as East Lawn. It's like a continuous thread.
Absolutely. A thread of remembrance woven right into the fabric of our nation's story and importantly kept alive in our own communities.
Yeah.
You know, taking this deeper look into the history and the evolution of Memorial Day really shows us something about how a nation chooses to remember.
Yeah.
How it honors its past. And understanding that history, maybe even participating in a local commemoration like the ones at East Lawn, it really allows you, the listener, to connect more profoundly with the meaning and the impact of this solemn day.
So maybe a final thought for everyone listening. As Memorial Day approaches, perhaps consider how that historical context we've talked about shapes your own moment of remembrance, how understanding the why deepens the meaning.
A powerful thought. How does knowing the story change how we remember?